are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Thursday, January 18th, 2018. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, we're one day away from a government shutdown. The Republicans are whipping votes, and Trump may have just sunk their bill.
Sorry.
Meanwhile,
wait, no, it's my bill.
El Salvador may ship El Salvadoran refugees from the U.S. under a revoked TPS to Qatar for what amounts to indentured servitude. New York Times finally gives Trump's voters a platform. And did John Kelly just Bannon himself?
We all knew this day would come.
Republican spending bill has a little bonus. It will allow secret appropriations for the first time in 70 years. And why have we not heard more about one of the largest sexual abuse scandals in this country's history? Republican freaking out over Pennsylvania 18th special election in the wake of the Wisconsin special last night, two nights ago. The FBI is investigating whether Russian money fueled the NRA's massive 2016 expenditure. And we're finally in Syria. And guess what, folks? We're not leaving. Lastly, Tom Cotton really doesn't want to hear from you or any of his constituents. All that and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. No guest today. We may do a teaser Thursday. So it's like a Cernovich teaser, a Theather Thursday.
Theather Thursday.
Theather Thursday.
That's the only way that we could get that to like, sound like an alliteration. So we had to do the Cernovich on that one.
I'm taking pills, guys.
Is he still on? Is he off social media now? Is he on Twitter or did he leave? I know like a couple of weeks ago he said he was going to leave.
Or
New Year's, I think he said he was going to leave, and then he.
Well, he had the Michael Jordan problem. He conquered Twitter, and he thought he might need to leave forever, but it turns out he needs to make money somehow still.
Is he still back? What is he doing these days? I have not paid much attention to him.
Well, don't worry, Mike. I'm still going to make the documentary.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that is still in the works. In fact, I think we're going to be getting soon breaking news.
Mike Cernovich documentary still in the works.
Still in the works.
Still in the works.
Oh, yeah. No, it's completely funded, and we're working out the distribution
program. Green light. Distribution plans.
Ladies and gentlemen, also good time to remind you, this program relies on its members for its revenue. If you have the funds to become a member, please head over to jointhemajorityreport.com. If you don't have the funds and you want access to the full show, the member show, send us an email at majorityreporters@gmail.com. As I always am, we're behind on our emails, but we will get there. And so have patience with us, and we will set you up. We will not turn anyone away from the fun half for financial reasons. There have been occasions in the past where I've fired members.
Those are pretty funny.
But that it was not in any way associated with financial.
You fire
issues.
Members, but you don't fire callers. You and I are very dissimilar that way. I'd be a little bit more forgiving of people actually paying for the product, but there are some callers that should be fired summarily.
Right, right. All right. Well, let's go to this. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, we are now about 12 days away from from Donald Trump's first State of the Union. This is going to be on January 30th, if I'm not mistaken. We are already begun the massive amounts of preparations that will be involved in our coverage of this. We will do live coverage.
Getting alcohol?
Getting alcohol. Also arranging for Judy Gold to be in studio. And I think what we're going to have to do is shoot a response. And maybe we'll shoot it in that office. And that will like set up some type of situation for Judy Gold to give the Democratic response. Not the Democratic response, I guess the Judy Gold response. Nevertheless, there's already some controversy because some members of the Democratic Party have already said that they will not attend because Donald Trump is Donald Trump and they don't want to go. Well, who better than to give his insight into this than Massey? Who's Massey? I don't know. He's some dude on Fox. But here he is. It's Bob Massey. He is a Fox News... He's a Fox News property lawyer. Hey, here we go.
It's the Massey memo.
It's the Massey memo.
All right, thank you, Brian. At least five Democratic lawmakers say they're going to boycott President Trump's first official State of the Union address on January 30th. There are their pictures. But does this send the wrong message by using his speech for their political gain? Joining us now for the Massey Memo is the host of The Property Man and Fox News legal analyst, Bob Massey. Hey, Bob.
Good morning, Angela.
Good morning. So the first question is, why do Democrats think that they can use the president's speech as a political statement?
Well, to be clear, as a citizen, I objected whenever President Obama was there and the justices and Ted Cruz decided to boycott. I thought appropriate, and so I feel this way. I don't believe this is the most reverent chamber of government in the world. And for them to use this
pause
as
it for one moment. I should tell you that this most reverent chamber of government in the world, I'm not even sure I know what that means.
It's a big chamber, dude.
Is literally the place where people make statements. I would
reverently.
Just add.
Reverently.
Right. There you go.
To basically send a message. I just chose disrespect to the office itself. Again, if you disagree with the man, disagree with him, but to at least respect the office that he holds. The other thing is, Ainsley, and I say this.
Now, pause it for 1 second before we even get there. Do we have that clip of the Republican yelling out, "You lie"? I mean, I actually think it's somewhat respectful to say, you know what? I can't sit there in good conscience and look at this guy deliver this speech. So I'm just not going to show up. I mean, that's basically, that to me is a fairly respectful way of approaching this, as opposed to, say, what this guy did back in the day, a Republican representative. I can't remember his name. Was it Rod?
Joe Wilson.
Joe Wilson. Here it is.
There are also those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants. This, too, is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegal. It's not true.
There you go. So someone yelling, "You lie" in the middle of the speech. But let's get back to Bob's real point here. And this guy's a property lawyer, so I want to hear what he has to say about what's really going on with these five lawmakers who have announced that they're going to be skipping.
And disagree with him, but to at least respect the office that he holds. The other thing is, Ainsley, and I say this very carefully, when is it, does racism come the other way? In other words, is this a political statement, or are these people also, as they call the president a racist, are they potentially racist against him? Somebody has to address that issue because there's a fine line between a political statement and are they being racist against the president of the United States?
Now, first off,
when does it come the other way?
When are you racist against a president? Now, there are five congresspeople who have said that they're not coming. John Lewis,
racist.
Who the others? I don't. Was it Maxine Waters?
Maxine, totally racist. Pramila
J-Par and Frederica Wilson.
Yeah. So basically four mega racists.
Four people of color. And of course, this guy, the biggest racist of all of them, Earl Blumauer, who is, as you can see, perhaps the whitest guy in the country.
This you think I'm going to sit through that devil's speech? Hell no.
There he is, Earl Blumauer, the avowed anti-white
Comrades
separatist.
Comrade Chavez said he smelled sulfur.
Understand.
I smell swine, and I'm not sitting for this devil with a mahogany skin. Hell no.
The Massey memo, he was saying this very carefully, so carefully that he only saw four of the faces that were boycotting, not all five. But
I say this
and then,
not
of course,
carefully. I hate the devil and his mayo-drenched skin. Hi, I'm Earl Blumenauer. I represent Portland.
The reason, of course, these lawmakers are not attending is because they have a real problem with white people holding elected office. That's the argument, right? That
That's
we're hearing
the main
from
problem. That's right.
That's the argument.
I mean, at least give me Ben Carson, for God's sake. We don't agree on policy, but at least he isn't a goddamn white devil.
I mean, I tend to be pretty cynical about this kind of performative rejection of Donald Trump. But then I see the reaction it creates in Republicans and the degree to which they can dish it out but cannot take it in any way, shape, or form. And then it makes me happy.
I know. It's pretty funny. The
Peep the bow tie, Nation of Islam, motherfuckers.
There you go. All right. So the big story today, of course, is that the House is hoping to vote on a 28-day continuing resolution. This would be a stopgap funding bill. Within that bill is a five-year, I believe it is, extension. Six-year extension of the federal children's health program, which, of course, this could have been passed at any time since it lost its funding 4 months ago. The Republicans could have done this at any time. They could have done this as a clean bill. They held back on this program that provides health insurance for nearly 9 million children in this country as a way of leveraging this continuing resolution without including a DACA fix. That was the plan that they had. And it's unclear as of this moment whether or not this can pass the House without Democratic votes. There's a majority, obviously. If every Republican voted for it, it would pass. But members of the Freedom Caucus see this as an opportunity for them to preen. So it's unclear whether Paul Ryan has the votes to make it pass. You will likely see, if it is clear the Republicans have votes, you will likely see about a dozen Democrats who will end up voting for it. People whose district is in Virginia, say, and they have a lot of government employees. Perhaps people who feel strongly about the CHIP program. But that is unlikely to happen unless the Republicans already have the votes. No Democrat is going to want to be one of two or five or even 10 Democrats who put this over the top. Nancy Pelosi has already said she wants her caucus to vote against it. But again, this is a function of what happens in the House. The only thing that has in any way sort of upset this apple cart. And then understand, if it passes the House and some Democrats do vote for it in the House, it's going to be harder for Democrats in the Senate to stage a filibuster. Nine Democrats can be released and they can still maintain, or I should say eight, and they can still maintain a filibuster. Tester apparently said he will not vote for this. Lindsey Graham supposedly will not vote for this. So that's nine. I mean, we'll see what will happen with those other Democrats in the Senate. The only thing that puts a little bit of a fly in the ointment this morning was Donald Trump tweeting out at one point this morning that CHIP should be part of a long-term solution, not a 30-day or short-term extension. So nobody knows what that means. Supposedly, Trump was okay with this bill. It is a short-term extension of the funding mechanism for the government, but it's a long-term extension of CHIP. So when he writes CHIP should be part of a long-term solution, not a 30-day or short-term extension, he may be saying that he will not sign this. In which case, it gives Democrats an excuse to not vote for it. I mean, the weird part about this is that the percentage of our population that would be aware of this exchange is, it seems to me, extremely small. I mean, I think there's more people than normal who are following these processes than over the years. But for Democrats, they will perceive this as giving them cover because they can say to reporters who are, you know, are going to disseminate this, like, look, why would we vote for a bill that Trump's not even going to sign? And the Republicans have to go back and try and work this out. But we just don't know. They need to pass this in the Senate and the House by tomorrow night. I guess Saturday morning. Who knows? We don't know what happens if there's going to be whether or not there'll be a shutdown. It seems hard to imagine that DACA is going to happen in this bill. It won't. But the question is whether or not it's going to pass. Here is Senator Ed Markey from Massachusetts. He, in the Senate, as a senator at the very least, is claiming, I don't know if he's just talking about himself, but he's claiming that the Democrats in the Senate will not vote for this continuing resolution without DACA.
President Trump says it'll be the Democrats' fault if there's a shutdown.
Well, the president is missing the point that he's not on the outside anymore. The Republicans aren't on the outside as people who can just criticize Barack Obama. He is now the president of the United States. The Republicans control the House and the Senate. The Republican paradox is that they don't believe in government, but they have to run for government in order to make sure that the government doesn't work. And now that they control every single part of the government, they're still pretending that they don't have a responsibility to make the government work, to keep it open. We're in our fifth month of this fiscal year, and we still don't have a resolution of DACA, of children's health, of community health, of opioid funding, of ensuring that disaster relief goes to Puerto Rico. It's 5 months, and they keep wanting to pass a CR, a continuing resolution, but in the Republican control, CR really means can't resolve. They just can't decide amongst themselves. And I think they're going to pay a big political price unless they come to the table to try to resolve these issues the way that the Constitution intended them to be resolved.
Willie. Senator Markey, it's Willie Geist. Good to see you this morning. I have a long line of questioning on the implications for the AFC Championship game of the cut on Tom Brady's finger suffered yesterday during practice, but we'll move on to larger matters. For you, this has been a sticking point for many Democrats as we look toward a potential government shutdown tomorrow at midnight, that DACA, protection for DACA recipients, must be a part of that bargain. Do you believe that without DACA, without a protection for those recipients, that there can be a CR signed?
No, I don't. I think the time has come. This brinksmanship that the Republicans have been engaging in has to end. We're not going to blink. The Democrats want a showdown. We want to resolve these issues. The American people want to resolve these issues.
So there you have it. I mean, Markey seems to me to have complicated the issue just a little bit, just rhetorically. I mean, the answer to are the Democrats responsible for shutting down the government, is Republicans control everything. They control everything. If they want to get rid of the filibuster, they can get rid of the filibuster. If they want to pass DACA, they can pass DACA. If they want a continuing resolution, they can pass a continuing resolution. They can do all of it. We're just here watching, basically saying, we think that you shouldn't penalize these immigrants who came here when they were children and deport them to a country they're not aware of.
Need to run government to dismantle government. It's a dialectic, Ed.
There you go.
Maybe you don't get it.
So we will see. And, you know, the important thing from, I think, going forward is obviously that there is an extension for children's health. There is some type of redemption and help for DACA as just a beginning. I mean, DACA and children's health, obviously the Democrats should be pushing for more, but those are two ones that would actually hurt Republicans. DACA maybe even a little bit less so, but just if you look at the polling suggests that normal people, you know, even Republican leaners, and I will include them graciously in the normal people.
Quasi-normal.
Right. See the injustice and the cruelty involved in this. So Democrats need to stay strong. If they can hold it together here, it's going to have big implications going forward, I think. If they can't, we'll see. But
don't get your hopes up.
All right, one more story. This is actually sort of fun. You know, hopefully there is a wider and wider understanding that even though he's a general, John Kelly is just a two-bit scumbag. And in fact, he's not a general. He was a general. Now he's a chief of staff, former head of DHS when I started their sadistic attack on people in this country. And every day you can see another story about just how horrific our immigration policy is and how our, I think, Matt, you tweeted out that story about a Haitian immigrant who has been in this country for 30 years, four children in this country, was deported yesterday, been in this country for 30 years. Longer, I think, than Stephen Miller, right? How old's that dude? 29? This is, you know, this is part of this is a, you know, has been constructed by John Kelly. So anything that makes John Kelly's life uncomfortable, I am completely in favor of and happy about. So here is John Kelly. He is on Special Report with Brett Baer. And apparently Kelly had spoken to the Washington Post. And is that part of this clip?
Yeah.
Okay. So Baer will tell you what was on Kelly said in the Washington Post. Now, understand, this aired last night. And guess who turns out to be watching?
Your time on the Hill today got some headlines. The Washington Post has a story. It says Kelly calls some of Trump's campaign pledges on immigration wall uninformed, meeting attendees say. White House Chief of Staff John Kelly told Democratic lawmakers Wednesday the United States will never construct a physical wall along the entire stretch of the U.S.-Mexico border and that some of President Trump's campaign promises on immigration were uninformed. Comments put Kelly at odds with Trump, who repeatedly said during his presidential campaign that he would build a border wall that Mexico would pay for, not the U.S. taxpayers. Quote, concrete wall would be good only certain places, adding, saying manpower and drone technology should suffice in some parts. Kelly also saying that there will be no wall that Mexico will pay for. Your response to that?
Well, I met at my request today with the the House Hispanic Caucus. I've done that three other times when I was at DHS. I met with them today and a range of issues.
There you go. Wow. What a great guy. He actually met with the Hispanic Caucus. You know what that must be like for a guy like him.
Dude, to listen to all the mariachi and the like, you're breaking families apart and we've been here and whatever. And I'm just like, I get it, Speedy Gonzalez, but this is the president's view.
Right.
Even though the president is also like a retard.
Dude,
whatever.
This is the Trace.
Which I didn't say.
This is the Trace time I've been here, so give me a break,
yeah.
All right?
Yeah. Trace, how's that for outreach?
Go ahead.
I met with them today and had a discussion about a range of issues. I was mostly listening because I've heard them so many other times, and they know what the administration perspective is. But in any event, as we talked about things, where this president is and how much he wants to deal with this DACA issue and take it away, I told him that, you know, there's been an evolutionary process that this president has gone through as a campaign, and I pointed out to all of the members that were in the room that they all say things during the course of campaigns that may or may not be fully informed. But this president, if you've seen what he's done...
Pause it for one second. I hope people appreciate what he's saying. Like, he was a fucking idiot at the time, and now he's just realizing he's got to do what's expedient. And so I said that. I got no problem saying that out loud here on this show.
He is... changed the way he's looked at a number of things. He's adjusted the way he's looked at the South Asia strategy, Afghanistan. He's very definitely changed his attitude towards the DACA issue and even the wall. Once we briefed him when I was at DHS and told him that the real experts on defending the Southwest border, the Customs and Border Protection men and women came in, did a survey of the border. There are places where hydrographically, geographically, a wall would not be realistic.
Hydrographically.
What does that mean? What is that? Hold on. Somebody look this up. So Donald Trump turns out to be watching, and he was not terribly happy. Apparently, he DVR'd it and got up this morning. I couldn't sleep all night. I had a rollover, and I had to get to Twitter.
You're not lucky, General Kelly.
5:15 a.m.
Because I watch so little TV because I have so much time because I'm always working.
And
but I happened to catch that appearance. It was totally random because 99% of the time, not watching TV. Bad luck for you.
Bad luck. The wall is the wall. It has never changed or evolved from the first day I conceived of it.
So wait, this is some deep self-analysis here.
Yeah.
The wall is the wall. It has never changed or evolved from the first day I conceived it.
It does sound this is almost poetic in a way, right? Like
definitely.
I've searched the deepest parts of myself, and I realize the wall is the wall.
I have come
it
to
terms
with
who I am. It has never changed
or
evolved from the first day I conceived it. He goes on, parts will be, comma, of necessity, comma, see-through. And it was never intended to be built in areas where there is natural protection, such as mountains, wastelands. Wastelands?
Or tough.
Wastelands are a natural protection because you cut yourself on the waste. Or tough rivers. Or water. There it is.
You covered a lot of bases
there
with that
one.
There
you go. So... Trump is pissed off. He,
General Kelly, this is really hard because on one hand, I have a pathological childlike devotion to military figures. On the other hand, I'm pathologically disloyal to absolutely everyone, watch TV all the time, and don't like being contradicted. So you've put me in a really, really difficult position. I'm going to eat about 10 hamburgers.
Isn't that right, Corporal Kelly? Now a corporal. Right? Or maybe it's Private Kelly. Do that.
And guess what?
You'll be private.
You
be a private.
You haven't told me how hot you think Ivanka is for days.
Had not heard
I can
one
see
thing
your loyalties are going away.
Can the president like strip medals or dishonorably discharge like people unilaterally?
You're fired from
the
military.
Oh, that would be so great.
All right.
If Trump did a press conference where he ritually fired Kelly and stripped him of his medals, oh my God. I hate to admit it. I would be back to 2016 primary mode. I would just be like, bravo, Mr. Trump. Bravo. Bravo, sir.
All right, lastly, at this point, then we're going to head to the fun half. So much for the teether Thursday. As you know, the Trump administration said that as of September 2019, it's going to eliminate the TPS, temporary protected status, of about 200 plus thousand Salvadorans who live in this country, have been here basically in the wake of multiple earthquakes in the early aughts, in a country that has still not by any shape or means recovered or gotten an easier place to live. These are people who have been working, living here, having children, getting married, developing roots. Like I said, for over a decade, hundreds of thousands of them. And apparently, El Salvador is trying to reach an agreement with Qatar to allow, in quotes, Salvadoran migrants who are forced to leave the United States to head to Qatar and work temporarily there for some unspecified period of time. And I think the way this works is that to get re-entry into El Salvador, the El Salvadoran government will say you have to spend, I don't know, 6 months, a year, 18 months working in Qatar. There's no word as to how many people we are talking about or how long they would have to stay there. It would be in response for aid from Qatar. Martinez, the Hugo Martinez, the Salvadoran foreign minister, said that his country had very, very skilled workers to offer the Gulf nation. Theoretically, coming from America, we're negotiating possibility of bringing temporary workers, very, very qualified people, engineers, to work in the maintenance of aircrafts and mechanics, Martinez told reporters at a local ceremony in Qatar. Qatar had also offered to provide health services to Central American country, which is struggling with a weak economy and gang violence. This is how dark these things are becoming and have become and are for the people that we are now basically exiling from this country after a decade more. Just absolutely disgusting. And I don't know. We'll try and find more. There are good immigration rights organizations out there, and we'll try and find more opportunities and talks with people who are doing stuff. I don't know. I don't know what can be done to reverse something like this, except for a 2020, election. I really don't. But
this is the future neoliberalism wants for all of us.
Well, that may be the case, but there were certainly neoliberals who weren't gonna pull temporary protected status from Salvadorans away from them.
Well, this is right wing populist policy syncing up with like 21st century feudal monarchy.
Right. From a neoliberal perspective, you might even have an argument that they'd be okay with the temporary status because it gives them the ability to exploit labor. But we're not even talking about, this is just indentured servitude. You will have no country to return to unless you work in Qatar for a certain period of time.
That is just, wow.
Folks, we're going to head to the fun half. A reminder, become a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. TMBS, you can check it out on our YouTube page or on iTunes. or both, frankly. I mean, subscribe on iTunes, then go watch it on YouTube. It helps. You'll enjoy it. Maybe you listen to the first half, then you watch the second half. And on TMBS's Patreon, you're only 9 people away from the first 1,000 people?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Will you be 991, 92,
We are at 991, so we're... Who's going to be the next
Someone
9?
Could drop out, and then somebody else true. Could be a 91.
I got to get practicing on Wolfenstein.
Me too. I need to literally learn how to play video games. And then actually
it's
more,
a tough game too.
More relevant, it's going to be embarrassing, but more relevant for people, we're going to do our first, at least one, probably a couple animations of some of the characters. So that's on the docket. And then, you know, Brendan is waiting to be 1,000, and I think a couple of other people have that idea, so... Be ready.
Yeah, watch out. Brendan's just been stalking
it. What does the 1,000th person get?
That's a good question. The 1,000th person can get a Patreon subscription to the Michael Brooks Show, and a very sincere thank you from me. You know what? If it is your desire and you're the 1,000th person.
1,000th
person. You can What the hell is that? You get one free Bitcoin call.
There you go. Don't forget Jamie's Patreon at Jamie Peck or patreon.com/Jamie Peck. Right?
Yes. I started writing a new piece last night and I'm probably going to finish it tonight. So check it out.
There you go. All right. Quick break. Fun half. 646-257-3920. See you then.